You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. So there's been a flurry of activities that is currently happening at the palace. And then this has been happening for the past few days. The question now is whether or not this has any semblance of change towards the government of the day, whether or not we're going to usher in a new government and therefore a new prime minister, or it's more of the same. What matters most right now is the political landscape of the country affecting the business environment as well. Because of the rising political risk, a lot of investors are now shying away from investing in Malaysia. And while the trend has been going on for the past few years now, the acceleration has been intensified. Not to mention that the credit ratings are now looking at Malaysia in a very non-positive light. Now, make that as you will, because some of the sovereign ratings are coming out very soon, and whether or not this will have an impact towards all the private sector's participants right now in the country is going to be closely watched. So here to understand the kind of political risk and the kind of impact it has on the business landscape, I have with me, joining us from Australia, Professor James Chin. James is the Professor of Asian Studies at University of Tasmania. And while James have been on the show, on the station for a few times, I'm very happy to invite him for the first time on Notepad. James, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us.
Good evening.
Let's talk a little bit more about this ongoings. Do you feel that this is more of the same or a routine, so to speak? Or is this, there is something material that is developing? And perhaps even let's go through into why we're all excited or not excited about this whole meeting that is currently happening.
Sure. I think there's several things we need to start off. I think we'll start off with two very important points. The first one, I think, is that people shouldn't get too excited about the meeting between political leaders, especially Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim and the King. I think it's quite obvious that because the emergency was promulgated in the name of the King wants to be seen to be involved in the political process in terms of consulting and listening to all the political leaders of Malaysia. So when he called for a meeting with all the political leaders in Malaysia, people shouldn't get too excited. It's not about a change of government. It's more like the political leaders giving the views to the King on what's happened in the country. So that's the first point. I think the second point is that people should not get too excited because in my opinion, we're not going to see a change of government or we're not going to see any drastic change over the next 2 weeks. In fact, I'll argue that there'll be no change. The earliest change that will come about will probably be in August, assuming the emergency is lifted. So between now and August, nothing will happen.
What would be some of the basis into forming this opinion, James?
Sure. I think if you look at what happened back in January, when the emergency was announced, I think the King received a lot of blowback, especially in terms of social media. A lot of people were very unhappy, and a significant portion of the Malaysian population thought that that this was basically a political move to save Muhyiddin. As long as Parliament was not sitting, therefore the so-called vote of non-confidence could be taken against Muhyiddin. But I think a lot of people then were actually misreading the situation. I think even then, if you look at the medical advice, it was quite clear that many countries around the world were already locking down the country because of COVID-19. So now we're seeing a big spike in Malaysia, and some people have actually changed their mind. They said that maybe the King did the right thing. So that's the first point. I think the other point is that I think a lot of people are misreading the situation because they thought that, you know, that if Parliament had been sitting, it would have been possible, or at least there's a possibility that, you know, that Muhyiddin could be replaced or the PN government could be removed. If you look at my writings and what I've been saying, even before the emergency started, was that this was simply not possible. Under the Malaysian system, for a vote of non-confidence to take place, you need to do two things. One is that you need to finish government business first. Vote of non-confidence usually never appear in the government paper. So by the time you finish government business, basically you run out of time. Secondly, people keep forgetting that in order for a vote of confidence to move in the Malaysian system, right, you need the speaker to go along with it. So it is quite clear that in the Malaysian system, the speakers will listen to the Prime Minister. So that's the reason why even back then, I always argue that a vote of no confidence would have been impossible.
Let's try to unpack this one by one. The developments are currently still happening. And as per your argument, you would argue that there wouldn't be anything dramatic that is going to happen in the next 2 weeks. And while the business of the government needs to be concluded, it currently isn't able to complete some of it because the parliament is not in session, because parliamentarians can't debate some acts, and therefore some statutes can't be passed. There seems to be a lot of things that are currently on hold. Amidst all this, the palace have issued a statement yesterday on the 9th of June saying that the Council of Rulers are going to meet on the 16th of June because the King, Seri Paduka Baginda Yang di-Pertuan Agong, is convening his brethren sultans and Yang di-Pertuan Negeris to actually discuss the current ongoings of the nation. So yes, while there are a lot of things that are on hold, a lot more things are currently taking place. Is the country therefore on hold, or are we really moving to a place where we're solving not just the COVID pandemic issue, but also other stuff as well, like getting investors coming in, getting the SMEs up and running? What's happening to this country, so to speak?
Right, I'll answer that in two parts. In terms of the economy, everything will be dependent on how well we deal with the COVID. The reason why the COVID situation is linked to the economy is obviously if our hospital system, our medical system is overbear with COVID, like what's happening in India and places like Brazil, then there's no economy to speak of. So the COVID issue is really number one, left, right and center. Now, in terms of the Conference of Rulers meeting, as you probably know, they actually meet regularly 4 or 5 times a year. In this case, I think this meeting will not be considered a special meeting, but the reason why it's special from the outside is because I think they'll be dealing with the issue of COVID-19, especially dealing with the issue of whether they're in agreement to issue an extension to the emergency. If you look at the statistics now, and if you look at the forward projection, it is quite clear at the end of July, the numbers will still be very high, especially fatality rates. So there's a very, very good chance that the emergency rule will be extended. Now, coming back to your point about all the laws that needs changing, things that are not moving in parliament because parliament is suspended, I would argue that's really not an issue. As you know, right, the government is still functioning and the government is capable of passing laws. The big difference between passing laws when parliament is in session and during emergency is that during emergency is called ordinance, but it has the full effect of a law as well. So it's a question of whether the government wants to enact ordinance rather than go through parliament and wait for parliament to sit and pass laws in the normal way. So I don't think that is the issue. The issue is really if Malaysia can't get a grip with the COVID-19, the flow effect will be very, very serious, not only for the economy, but for the country as a whole. The bottom line is that if we can't get the vaccination process rolled out smoothly, there's no way this country can recover. I mean, we saw what happened with Sabah. Basically, we have a state election there. Within 3 months, which is earlier this year, the COVID thing really spread throughout the population. And recently, people don't like to talk about it, but it's a fact that, you know, the Hari Raya thing was, that led to another major spike. Our hospital system, while it's good, it is not meant to deal with something like the COVID-19 crisis. So again, I'll come back to my earlier point. If we can't deal with the COVID-19, nothing else really matters.
So the question is at what cost, right? Because you were using two big examples that I don't think anybody could out-argue you, which is the Sabah state elections as well as the Hari Raya festivities. But the Sarawak state election, for instance, it's due for election. The 12th Sarawak state election was due to be held on or before 30th September this year. But news have surfaced as of last week saying that the Sarawak state election will be suspended in accordance with the emergency declaration of the federal government. And therefore, the question now is, was this the right move to suspend democracy as it is? Or is there a time and place to discuss democracy? For now, it's trying to control the pandemic. Which one is it?
Well, I have always argued that Malaysia has never been a real democracy. We are basically a hybrid state. we have some elements of democracy, but we also have elements of non-democracy. People used to say Malaysia is democratic because we hold elections every 5 years. But I'll argue that, yes, you have elections every 5 years. But the way the elections are rigged, you know who the winner is, or at least you have a very good idea who the winner is even before elections are called. Coming back to Sarawak, I think for the majority of the urban people, most people are of the opinion that you have to postpone the elections. The vaccination rate in Sarawak is very, very low. In fact, if you look at social media, there are all sorts of horror stories about coming out of Sarawak in terms of the vaccination. So if they can't get the vaccination route properly done, there's no way they can hold the so-called Sarawak state election. The other problem is that in the rural areas, it's even more serious. As you know, a large chunk of the rural population Sarawak live in longhouses. So the issue of social distancing is not possible at all. So again, I'll argue that yes, they did the right thing in postponing it. My worry is that will the conditions be right, for example, in August, if there's no more emergency, are they going to hold it in August? And I'm really afraid because the sort of statistics I've seen or the projections I've seen for Malaysia is not very good.
So does this mean that, you know, now we're entering into the realm of speculation? Do you feel that Malaysian's emergency is going to be extended post-August because of all these factors coming in?
Well, my guess is that the government will certainly ask for an extension based on the statistics or you know, the projections on the COVID. Then it becomes a political issue because there is a way out of this. The way out of this is actually that, you know, you actually have sort of a mini emergency, but you allow parliament to sit at the same time. So this is something that that the people or the people in government are talking about, that whether you can have a hybrid parliamentary sitting. I think they're looking at it seriously. But whatever it is, I'm quite confident that the lockdown in August, there will be some sort of lockdown. It may not be called a full lockdown or full emergency, but there will be some sort of full lockdown, because all the projections I've seen suggest that, you know, the COVID crisis will still be very, very serious in Malaysia for July, August, and September.
See, when I was earlier this morning, I had a conference. It's an accounting conference, and I had folks from Australia, New Zealand, talking about how the country is coming out from the COVID. I was also talking to folks from Ireland, interestingly enough, because she was from the OECD. And it seems like public transparency is heightened. The public wants better accountability from the government. They are demanding more from their administrators. And this has transpired through a lot of forms. Of course, because I was in an accounting conference, the item that was demanded was better accounting transparency. But I'm sure in other factors as well, they are asking for more transparency. That's the theme of the conversation. In the UK, NHS budgeting and budgetary requirements are now being examined closely under microscopic look, actually, because all this has increased the need for the public to put members of the politicians in the spotlight. Do you feel that that kind of demand or want from the people in Malaysia is lacking or is heightened from your observation?
My take is that ordinary people want parliament to reconvene, but at the same time, they also want the government to implement the lockdown. So that's the reason why I mentioned early on that it is possible to do both. It is not a question of doing one thing and not doing the other. It is possible, for example, to hold parliamentary sitting now, because we know that MPs, well, most of the MPs have at least one shot. So by the time the emergency is over in August, I'm sure that most of the MPs, being the VIPs in a VIP status country like Malaysia, most of them will have that second shot. So it is really up to the government whether they want a parliamentary sitting to go ahead. You also have to remember that, you know, this thing about the emergency, right? Emergency doesn't mean that everything is shut down. At any time, even now, right, if the government were to change the mind, the government can actually hold a parliamentary sitting. So that's the reason why I said this is really a political issue more than anything else.
All right, we'll go for one short break before we continue our conversation with James Chin of University of Tasmania. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, dialing in from Australia. James, let's talk a little bit more about the machinations of the political landscape in Malaysia. Do you feel that the question of a unity government should be discussed right now? Is there any merit to have some form of unity government?
Again, this is something that is sort of playing strongly on social media, especially among the middle class. But I would argue that a government of national unity is simply not possible at the current moment for a very simple reason that the three major parties in government right now, they're not in agreement. We know that UMNO is fighting Bersatu. PAS is sort of playing both sides. So until you get a united government, then you can talk about a national unity government. So all this is just social media talk. It can't be implemented in practice.
And speaking of which, what is the political landscape right now? If a person, particularly one that is running a business in this country, is trying to make sense of the alliances, of the PACs that is being done by all these political parties, how do things stack up right now? Is there going to be a coalition even if an election is being carried out?
Sure. So my take is that there won't be a general elections in Malaysia anytime soon. Again, everything is tied to COVID-19 crisis is how we manage it. But in terms of business in Malaysia, it depends on which segment you're talking about. If you're talking about the big boys in town, yes, they're keeping a very close eye on the political situation because the way politics are run in this country, it can affect their business very badly. But if you're talking about SME and the smaller businesses, they're more worried about lifting of emergency rule and lifting of all the restrictions. For them, it's a matter of survival, and I don't think they really care about what happens in terms of coalition politics or who's jumping from which party to which party or whether there'll be a government of national unity. They want the economy to reopen so they can make some money so that their business will survive. But at the top end in town, I think there is a lot of worry that Malaysia is heading towards uncharted waters, and that Malaysia is slowly becoming politically unstable. You have to remember, for a very long time, right, a lot of foreign players in Malaysia, if you were to speak to them, one of the reasons they like Malaysia is the fact that Malaysia has politically been quite stable. And by and large, for the big boys in town, they have access to government. In other words, they could speak to the government and get the correct policies up and running. Now, all that thing is out the window. I think there's a general consensus that this government is not really listening to the big boys in town. A lot of things they do, the big boys in town really don't understand where all these policies are coming from. I think, for example, I'll give you an example. Last year, when the budget was passed for this year, a lot of the big companies in Malaysia were actually thinking that the government was a bit stingy, while a lot of countries were actually overspending, throwing a lot of money in the economy to restart the economy. Malaysia didn't really take that route. We were still quite stingy. It's only in the second and third stimulus package that Malaysia started throwing money in the economy. So I think for the big boys in town, they're watching the situation carefully. I think what they're hoping for is that the three big parties in government, they'll come to some sort of solution so that Malaysia, politically at least, can be stable for the next couple of years. But on the international front, I think Malaysia is in big trouble because right now, I think international investors have a lot more choices. 10, 15 years ago, they wouldn't even compare Malaysia, Indonesia, and Vietnam. But now I think they're seriously, you know, in terms of investing, they're looking carefully at Vietnam and Indonesia. And in some ways, these two countries are becoming more attractive compared to Malaysia.
See, this is the thing when we talk about this. A lot of people try to understand what the current situation is. When you say things like Malaysia entering uncharted waters because of the political instability that is currently that is going to happen, it seems like you're talking about things in the future tense. Do you feel that you know, despite how things are right now, things are still okay when it comes to political stability? And we should be worried about the future. And that's when the political instability risk comes into the play.
I think at the present moment, I think for most people, it's an issue of survival. But again, I need to make a distinction between the big boys in town and the orang kecil, the small people. I think for the ordinary people, it's all about a matter of surviving, especially keeping their jobs. They're very worried that their companies will collapse, or use the COVID-19 excuses to get rid of them. For the big boys in town, I think they're trying to negotiate with the government. So, for example, you can see the government keep flip-flopping about which industries are allowed to keep their factories open. There was a big controversy whether you allowed Carlsberg factory in Shah Alam to keep it open, that sort of issue. So I think for the big boys in town, I think their interests are completely different from the rest of the economy. My take is that our Malaysian economy is quite resilient. We will probably get through the COVID thing, assuming that most of the economy will be reopened by the third quarter of this year. If we were to shut down the major portions of the economy until the end of the year, that's when we should really worry about the economic impact for the future of the country.
All right, thank you very much. Any last words before we end the show?
There's really no last words. The only last words I have is that don't get too excited over this series of meetings that the Argonne is holding all the political party leaders. We're not going to get a new government. Nobody's going to get a new prime minister. And the meeting of the Conference of Rulers is actually a good thing. I think it's quite important given the fact that Parliament is not sitting. We have a second body that can offer a second opinion to the government. My hope is that they come to some sort of compromise and then they'll bring back Parliament. I think Parliament plays a very, very important role in the Malaysian system. Although Parliament traditionally has been very weak in the Malaysian system, they've never been able to check the executive. But in recent times, especially in terms of 2018 and 2020, Parliament is playing a much more important role. And I think the sooner they bring back Parliament, even in terms of a hybrid sitting, the better it is for Malaysia.
Thank you very much. That was Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania. There are plenty of shows like this and also resources like this that can be found on Astro Awani. Just head to astroawani.com, look for Notepad. There are interviews like this that can be found there. Also, you can watch us on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app wherever you get the application. Till then, thanks very much for watching and see you in the next one.